tonight is the question of whether the heterim, the general leniencies, or it's actually a chiv to violate Shabbos to save a life, does that apply when somebody's spiritual being is in danger? So, I'd like to start with the following. The Gemara in Source 1 talks about what the source is for the fact that we violate Shabbos in order to save a life. And the Gemara has a few suggestions, and there are pretty much two that emerge in the end that remain part of the discussion. The first is from this week's Parsha. It's a pasuk that we say every Friday night. V'shemru b'nei Yisrael says Shabbos, last says Shabbos, at least Ashkenazim. Bnei Yisrael should keep Shabbos, and Rashi on the Gemara explains Lasos as a Shabbos means, as the Gemara says, Chal alav Shabbos achas v'shul sheishma Shabbos asharve, meaning you keep Shabbos in order to keep Shabbos, so you can violate one Shabbos in order that that you or some other individual can observe many more Shabbosos. Okay, the Gemara then says Kulu Shmuel says Ihavi asam havi amina didia difa miditu. My makor is the best. V'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamasam. So it's a pasuk in Vayikra that you shall live by these mitzvos and not die by them. And then the Gemara goes further, Kulu Eshkechan Vada, Isafik Minolan. So how do you know for each of the sources presented, meaning Chalav Shabbos Achas Vishushishma Shabbos Harbe is a Svara, that you should violate one Shabbos in order to save others. So that makes sense, like in the case of Vada, well, let's say you know for sure that the person's going to die, and you have to violate Shabbos, or you know for sure that you're going to be successful in when you violate Shabbos and saving his life. What if it's a suffix on either end? A suffix whether it's necessary to violate Shabbos, or it's a suffix whether you're going to be successful. So that makor is not sufficient, but v'chai b'hem, which is that the Torah is meant to live by and not to die by, so that applies even in a case of suffix, which is how we hold. Tosus explains, why is v'chai b'hem any better? Because v'chai b'hem means shelo yuchal lavo b'shum inyan l'idei mises Yisrael. That death should never be attributed to the fact that you were keeping mitzvahs. So it's a much more encompassing kula. Okay, and in theory we could just leave it at that, but then Netziv develops this a little bit further. So he says there really is a practical difference between the two sources beyond this. Let's take the following case. He says, let's say you have a fetus. So a fetus is not a nefesh. So v'chai b'hem would not apply to a fetus, because it's not a nefesh, it's not a life, and so we don't want Mises Yisrael to come about through observance of mitzvahs, but this fetus is not considered a life yet, so that would not warrant violating Shabbos. But Chal of Shabbos Achas, Peshus Sheishma Shabbos Harbe, that would apply, meaning you violate Shabbos to save the fetus, because if you save the fetus, so then it can live, you know, it can observe many Shabbosos. So then Netziv comes up with a chiddush, a big chiddush, halacha lemaisa, that you can't violate Shabbos to save a fetus if it's a doubt. Meaning if it's doubtful either that the fetus is going to die in the first place if you don't do anything, or if it's doubtful whether the treatment's going to be successful. And then he goes a step further. I'll try to say this quickly because it's a 15-minute shiur. So he quotes a Tosos. Tosos talks about Elio Anavi when he did Tchias HaMesim. So Tosos asks, you know, how could he do that? He's a Kohen. A Kohen can't come in contact with a dead body. So how could he have performed Tchias HaMesim? So he says, no, he knew for sure that he was going to be successful. So the Netziv says, what does that answer? So he says that V'chai b'hem wouldn't allow you to do Tchias HaMesim, meaning a Kohen can't come into contact with a dead body to save somebody who's already dead, meaning to bring somebody who's dead back to life. But Chal of Shabbos Achas B'shul Sheishma Shabbos Harbe would apply, meaning you bring somebody back to life, and then they can keep many more Shabbos. The only problem is that only applies when you're dealing with a vada, but if it's a suffix, so then you can't do it. So that's why Tulsa says that Eliyahu HaNavi knew for sure that he was going to be successful, and that's why he was able to do it. Okay. Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch points out in Source 7 that once we kind of, he already anticipated this kasha, once we have both makoros, and once we have a halacha lemaisa, we kind of put the two svaras together, and we save a fetus even in the case of suffix. It's a very common scenario that a woman is having early contractions or whatever. You know, according to the Netziv, you couldn't violate Shabbos to deal with that. But lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, or Shlomo Zalman quotes it, so we follow the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that we kind of combine the two sources, and we don't really assume that there are practical nafkabinas. Okay, so that's one sugya. The other sugya is Gemara and Shabbos. Gemara and Shabbos talks about, are you allowed to violate a lesser iser in order to save somebody else from violating a greater iser? So the case there is a guy takes a piece of dough and he sticks it on the side of the wall of the oven. Now, he doesn't violate Shabbos until the bread is baked. There's an iser d'rabbanan to scrape bread off the wall of an oven. So are you allowed to save this guy by scraping the bread off the wall of the oven? Or do you say, no, he did his thing, he violated Shabbos, it's not your problem, you can't violate an iser d'rabbanan to save him from an iser d'oraisa? So we assume generally not, that you can't violate one iser. You can't violate an iser d'rabbanan to save somebody else from a greater iser. That's what the Gemara says. And from this, the Rashba discusses a very unfortunate situation. The Rashba says, what happens if it's something we can't even consider nowadays. Somebody gets kidnapped in order to be converted to Christianity. So nowadays we assume that's pikuach nefesh. Anyone who's a kidnapper is crazy enough that the person's life is in danger. But there was a time when their whole goal is just to convert the person to Christianity. Their physical well-being will be just fine. They'll grow up as a Christian, but the physical well-being will be just fine. And the Rashba says that you can't violate Shabbos to save this girl from being converted to Christianity because you can't violate an Avera in order to save somebody else from a greater Avera. The Beis Yosef points out that Tosos seems to disagree. The Tosos says on that sugya in Shabbos that there are two possibilities where you can violate a lesser iser to save somebody else from a greater iser. One is if the person who's violating the greater iser wasn't negligent in doing so, meaning they're in a situation that they got stuck in, you're allowed to violate a lesser iser to help them avoid a greater iser. And then Tosa says when there's a greater purpose, meaning it's not just one aveira, a small aveira versus a large aveira, but a mitzvah rabbah, an example is Pruvu, so then you can violate the lesser iser for the greater iser. So the Beis Yosef says that this case of the kidnapping meets both criteria, meaning you're talking about a mitzvah rabbah. To save this woman from shmad is a mitzvah rabbah. And besides, the victim was not at fault. It wasn't based on the negligence of the victim. It just happened. And so therefore you can violate Shabbos. And that's how it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Source 12, that you're allowed to violate Shabbos even with an iser d'oraisa to save someone who was kidnapped by a Christian for the purpose of Shabbat. The Rama,
if she did something that caused her,
we'll get to that. So the Rama has another psak. The Rama seems to agree to this. He just says ayin l'kam and simen shin chav ches. But he seems to agree. But he says, Misha rotzim la'anso shi'avar aveira gedol e'im echal shabbos yedei la'hatzilo. And look back at what it says earlier. So is Rama basically saying, I agree to what it says in Simen Shin Vav, but, so how do you deal with this case? Somebody wants to force somebody else to violate a great aveira, meaning avodah zara. You can't violate shabbos in order to save that person from the Avera. So the Bach says it's two different cases. In the first case, the kidnappers want to basically brainwash this girl into becoming a Christian. So right now, what she's doing may be ba'onus, but long term, she's going to be willingly ovid avodah zarah. So there, for sure, you could violate Shabbos. In the case in the Ramah, it's they want to force the person to be Oved Avodah Zarah, so great, so he did it against his will, and he's not. It's not really that great of an Aveira to do something against your will. The Taz goes basically with that approach with a little bit of a twist. He says that the case in Shulchan Aruch where you're allowed to violate Shabbos is when they're forcing her, meaning long term, it's going to be a permanent thing that she's going to be Meshumedes. Whereas in Ramah's case is one time it happens that they, so you can't violate Shabbos to prevent somebody from violating an Aveira one time, even if it's a great Aveira. The Magen Avraham goes with a whole different approach, and this is where we get back to our first sugya. He says that no, the heter in source number 12 is based on Chalav Shabbos Achas Peshur Sheish Meshavos Asharbe. That if they make her into a Meshumeres, so then she's going to violate Shabbos every week. She's never going to keep Shabbos. So you can violate one Shabbos in order to save her. The case in Ramah is where they want her to, or want him or her to violate Avodah Zarah. So the Magen Avraham says, Chalav Shabbos Achas only works to help other Shabbosos, but here it's an Isra Avodah Zarah, which he says might not be as chamor. Why that is, you have to look inside, but he says it might not be as chamor. So to violate Shabbos, to prevent someone from violating Avodah Zarah one time, or even a few times, might not be warranted. Now, what happens in your case? What happens if the person made a bad decision? Meaning it's an old, it's not a little girl, it's a teenager, or a, well, unfortunately this happens, a 20-something-year-old meets somebody on the internet, and whatever. So, the Nachla Shiva, which, it's a safer, it goes through a lot of contractual issues, but he also has tshuva. So the Nachla Shiva says that this might be the difference between the Taz and the Magen Avraham, meaning according to the Magen Avraham, or the Beis Yosef and the Magen Avraham, according to the Magen Avraham, you say, Chalav Shabbos Achas V'Shishish V'Shabbos Harbe, even if she was negligent. But according to the Mechaber, it seems to be based on the fact that Tosus is heter, that when there's when the person was kind of forced into the situation, then not. The Shus Yaakov disagrees. He thinks that if there was negligence, then you cannot violate Shabbos to save the person. Okay, now we'll get to two more cases. Chassam Sofer discusses a case the following: a person is not mentally competent enough to observe mitzvahs, and there's an institution somewhere that can potentially heal this person, but that institution doesn't serve kosher food. So do you say Chalav Shabbos Achas B'shush Mishma Shabbos Harbi, meaning to make the person chayav in mitzvahs might be a worthwhile thing, even if they have to eat non-kosher now? So Chassam Sofer says, theoretically, yes, but when it comes to kashrus, eating non-kosher is metamtei mesalev, it gives you bad midos, so he wouldn't recommend it. Rav Yitzchak Shmalkes and Beis Yitzchak disagrees, and he says that you should send the person to such an institution because of Chalav Shabbos Achas V'Shishish Shabbos Asharbe. And the last application of this, it's a very big chiddush. Let's say somebody has an eye ailment. So we treat that as secundus aver, meaning you're more limited in terms of what you can do. You can only violate Yisurim D'oraisa to save a life, not to save a limb. It's very rare that such a thing might happen. So Shlomo Kluger says, let's say the person has an eye ailment, and of course they might lose their sight completely. So he quotes Machlokas in the Gemara, whether a blind person is chayv mitzvahs or patur min hamitzvahs. And there's one opinion in the Rishonim, Rabbi Yerucham holds, that a blind person is patur min hamitzvahs. So he says, you put two and two together. If you hold that, assume it's patur min hamitzvahs, so what happens by saving this person from blindness? You're basically making him chayv mitzvahs. So even though, meaning it's not pikuach nefesh, and he's not going to lose his life because of this, but Chalav Shabbos Achas B'shul Shishma Shabbos Asharbe, that better to violate Shabbos now in order that he can observe many Shabbos, meaning he'll observe Shabbos either way, but according to Rabbi Yerucham, he'll actually get the mitzvah of Shabbos, because according to Rabbi Yerucham, if he becomes blind, he's patur min hamitzvahs. So that's a big chiddush, that we even consider Rabbi Yerucham to be an opinion, and B, that you consider Chalav Shabbos Achas in such a situation, because really all it is what we're calling spiritual pikuach nefesh. So we have three cases: the case of the Meshumedes, the case of the case of the person who wants to go to a mental institution where they're serving non-kosher food, and then the third case, a blind person. All those cases, the svara, that spiritual pikuach nefesh, is pikuach nefesh, is something that is considered. Yeah, just remind me of that.